Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan. I have Mikey and John joining me right now. We have a very special guest, a recurring guest, Jake Hansen, will be joining us here shortly. But we wanted to get into the spring game a little bit and, you know, jumping right into it, Mikey, I wanted to get your take on what do you look for in a spring game? You know, you got the ones versus the twos. Do you want the ones to win? Do you want the twos to win to show that you have depth? What's the ideal scenario in a spring game?
Throughout the night, you know, just as I was watching it, I had to keep reminding myself that, okay, our ones are really beating up on our twos. But it's good to see, you know, the starters go out there and do well. Personally, though, I would have liked to see the second and third stringers hold their own a little bit more than they did, like you mentioned, Dan, just for that depth aspect of it. Because, you know, the first few non-conference games or the first few games of the season when you're playing the weaker schedules, you might be able to get by with that. But when you start that brutal, you know, Big Ten conference schedule, depth is really what comes into play. You see some of these other teams out there, they have 4 and 5 star kids, you know, as backups. And that, you know, truly helps them because, you know, throughout the games when guys are getting tired or guys are getting winded, you know, they have a guy come in that, you know, is just as good as their starter. So to wrap this all up for my long-winded answer here, I would have liked to see the backups do a little better than they did.
Yeah, I think I generally agree with that, Mikey. I think maybe the injuries on the defensive side of the ball kind of hindered them from really getting any kind of pushback. And then the offensive line obviously has not had time to congeal as a second unit because I would assume there's enough competition for those interior spots that they're, looking to make more of a push there and getting some kind of cohesion as a second unit. So I kind of understand why the twos or the blue squad struggled so much. But yeah, I kind of wish that they had just gotten like one, maybe just like a fluke, some like random pass from Isaiah to, it would have been sick if it was like Isaiah to Marquez, just on a deep ball that turned into a touchdown just to be like, oh yeah, like we still have this, you know, kind of in our bag that we can go to. But yeah, I think overall, I mean, there's not a whole lot that you can take out. It's kind of like a can't help, might hurt situation in terms of what we could have seen, because I don't really think you can glean too much from, you know, vanilla offense versus vanilla defense because they're not going to put too much on tape, and the ones going out there and beating up on the twos because, you know, they're obviously the ones and the depth is strained, especially with the injuries. So, you know, Brandon Peters had some great throws. Love seeing him have some of those hole shots to the sideline because, you know, those are Big Ten throws that you need to be able to make. But he's also doing it with, you know, a fair amount of time in the pocket because he's got all day. So who knows if, you know, he's ever going to get that in weeks, you know, 5 through 9 next year. So I think that generally there's it's good that we saw that, but I don't know if there's really too much that we can take away other than that.
Do you guys have a specific position you were kind of keying on? Mikey, are you the kind of guy who's always looking at the wide receivers to see how that position battle's going, or were you looking at other position battles out there?
Yeah, no, I was focusing probably 90% of my time, just on the receivers. And, you know, I thought they played well. They made contested catches. They sat in zones when they needed to. And, you know, John, like you mentioned, going against, the vanilla defense and Brandon was making those good hole shots. It would have been nice to see, you know, ones on ones just for a little, not that the backups, you know, aren't good football players, but, you know, specifically in the quarterback position, when you have 3 or 4 yards of separation on a receiver, it's like throwing routes on air. But, you know, I thought Brandon looked really well hitting those guys in stride. And then, you know, Donnie Navarro, what a game or a spring game that he had. And I think, you know, the coaches as well as the fans should all be excited for him because I think he's going to have a true coming out party this year.
John, did you have any positions you were keying on?
Yeah, I mean, I usually try and look at line play as much as I can just to see what's up and like I was saying, there's not a whole lot that you can glean from that just because, you know, the Blue Squad had guys who, I think Sadarius McConnell, who, you know, is hopefully going to become a guy who can be a contributor, you know, just got to campus. So he's not going to be probably a, you know, main contributor once, you know, the guys get healthy who are supposed to be, you know, in those either one or two spots. So of course, you know, the Orange Squad was dominating with their offensive line play. And then even the defensive line as well, you know, was getting after that second unit, also because they were shuffling guys around. I was very pleased with seeing how Julian Pearl has still played. I think he's a guy who last year, you know, when he stepped in for Palcho, when he went out, I was, you know, he seemed like a bright spot for the offensive line in terms of, you know, holdover guys who Lovey recruited. And he seems like I personally am kind of hoping that when Palcho comes back, that because it seems like there's kind of this uncertainty with Virtus Brown being a starter, I kind of want to see them slot Julian as a guard. And so then you can still have, like, because it seems like they want big bodies on the offensive line. If you just kind of look at, you know, former Brett Bielema philosophies / even recruits that they've just got to commit, it seems like they're trying to go big, you know, power football. We expected that. So I would kind of like to see, you know, a big mass mover like Julian Pearl possibly get into the interior. But I also understand if they want to maybe develop him as a maybe left tackle or something like that, then keep getting some reps out there in practice every, you know, during the fall and then during the season. But still, that was like my biggest takeaway, was that he was, you know, still looking good. And that's pretty much it. I mean, Donnie had that one nice catch that was kind of reminiscent of Wisconsin, where he just kind of, you know, slipped under some dudes and took it. But yeah, that's line play. It's pretty much what I'm going to key on pretty much every single time.
Yeah, I was kind of interested to see how the tight ends would play. Obviously, Brett Bielema's offensive scheme is reliant heavily on the tight end usage. So it was good to see Luke Ford get involved. He didn't have all that many catches last year, but, you know, they were throwing him the ball. He was making some really tough catches, and it was good to see that. And then, you know, like Mikey, I was interested in the wide receiver battle a little bit, just because I think that's a position that they're going to need a couple guys to step up. So it was good to see guys like Carlos Sandy and Kamari Thompson make a couple catches. But I feel like the Illini fan base in general is always keying on the quarterback, and Isaiah Williams is one of the most talented players to come in to the program the past, you know, decade or so. Highly, highly touted kid, and I know there's always a push to see him, you know, get as many reps and see what he can do. He's still young, but it was good to see him out there making some throws. I still think Brandon Peters had the better spring game, but, you know, there's still time with Isaiah, and I think with the right coaching and stuff like that, he'll be able to perform and get the ball down the field and in the passing game a little bit. We all know he can run.
It would have been kind of electric to see Isaiah, like, if they were playing full contact, because Isaiah with that second offensive line was, you know, he would have been scrambling for his life. And obviously with, you know, it being either slight contact or in some cases not even contact and they were blowing the play dead, it would have been kind of cool to see him just try and dazzle, because yeah, he was given some pretty poor cards for his reps. But then he did get the Luke Ford, to touch on that. That was a nice ball from Isaiah, you know, with the one. So there's some things that you can take away that were nice from him.
Yeah, I was just a little disappointed we didn't get to see any 12-point touchdowns or any 4-point conversions
exactly.
Out there. You know, it was the blue team wasn't really putting much on the board, aside from the kicking battle, which was another interesting wrinkle they threw in there. What'd you guys think of that?
I liked it. You know, it looks like, you know, Brett Bielema is trying to, you know, do some things to continue to keep it fun for those guys. And I think I've mentioned, you know, in the past on our podcast, Coach Smith, Lovey Smith, ran his program very much like an NFL program. And not that that's, you know, the wrong way to do it, but, you know, it's almost like the fun was taken out of football for most of those guys. At least that's, you know, how it felt when I was there. You know, going through practice meetings and whatnot. And it looks like Bielema's trying to keep you know, spirits high, you know, people smiling and just doing things, throwing in different wrinkles, like you said, Dan, with that kicking competition, whole team around the guys, you know, screaming in their ears, just putting the pressure on it to make it fun. So it was cool to see. And then, you know, the BTN reporter getting to throw that 2-point conversion.
Yeah. Shout out Elise Menneker.
Yeah. That was
pretty good ball from her too.
Yeah. Very good ball. So
maybe a little wobbly, but right on the money.
Yeah. And it had to go to Barker too. Like the only person that it could go to for the celly would be a Daniel Barker 2-point conversion.
I have a question for you guys. Whose stock are you buying right now for the season?
That's a good question.
I feel like the value might not quite be there because, you know, people would have assumed this with a Brett Bielema hire and now after this game. But I think Luke Ford is like a pretty safe buy just because I think his production is going to be, you know, leaps and bounds better this year after what we saw last year. Because Dan, like you were saying, I mean, I think he had a significant amount of snaps, but I think he was only targeted like a dozen times or something like that. If that, I don't know, but I think it's definitely one of those where he's going to be more of a focal point of an offense. So yeah, it might not quite be the value play of like a Reggie Love or
that's what I was going to
Kamari.
Pick. That was going to be my
Kamari
pick.
Thompson. Those were the two other names I was floating around in my brain, but I think it's just got to be Luke Ford because in this kind of offense and with the weaponry that they, you know, have at wide receiver or lack thereof at wide receiver, he's probably going to get, you know, you're going to get Daniel Barker split out or even Luke Ford split out and the opportunity to get a fair amount of play and production as well as, you know, impacting the game as a blocker.
Yeah. I was going to say Reggie Love, you know, he's one that I think is going to earn some playing time this year. And I liked what I saw out of him. So that might be my pick. And then if you wanted to go with the defensive player, someone who I think, you know, you're not going to lose a lot of value, but might be kind of a reliable guy would be an Owen Carney or a Johnny Newton. You know, those two guys would be the two guys on the defensive side of the ball that I'd be looking at. How about you, Mikey?
I am going all in everything I got on Chase Brown. I am so impressed with him.
Really?
Yes. And I'm calling it right now. He's going to go for over 1,000 yards rushing this season.
Really?
So you hear it here first.
Big time first team.
I don't know about that just because they seem to pick the guys from, you know, Ohio State, Michigan. But I just, you know, like they mentioned on the broadcast, you know, he's put on 15 pounds. He looked faster than he normally is. And just, you know, his ability to hit the hole hard, make one guy miss and he's gone. So I am very, very, very impressed with him.
You're not even going to diversify the portfolio a little bit?
Nope. All in. He's like Amazon in 2002. Going to make us a lot of money.
I like that. But at the same time, I'm like, how much of it is he was going up against walk-ons and, you know, a second string, third string guys on defense that he's going to look great, obviously. And he may be awesome, but I have just a little caution that, you know, he wasn't going up against the most talented defense in that spring game that, you know, maybe he looked a little better than he's actually going to be. But hey, if Mikey Dudek's riding Chase Brown to the top, I'm not one to say no to that.
Yeah. I really, really like Chase Brown. And I think they're going to feed him the rock a lot this year. And, you know, during the game, we threw the ball a lot more than I thought we were. But, you know, you don't, John, like you mentioned, you know, they kept it super vanilla and didn't want to show Nebraska, who I'm sure was watching it too much.
Yep. And I mean, even talking about like they opened the first play was with the spread out look. Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, well, this is different. So that'll be. Yeah, you know, they've got some things that, you know, you just put that on tape. And Mikey, obviously, you know, but you put that on tape. So then, yeah, you know, Nebraska has to at least scout for a 5-wide type of look or what, you know, possible sets could come out of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no. And even, you know, we've touched on the, you know, two of the three orange team running backs, but even Chase Hayden, like, acquitted himself pretty nicely. You know, that could be something where, you know, running back is, it's a position where you need as much depth as you can get because it, you know, requires a lot of mileage in a given year and dudes are bound to be a little banged up. And so it's kind of nice that they've, you know, been able to slot him in there and he can hopefully provide some depth and value there.
Yeah, Chase Hayden was a little smaller than I was expecting, but I think it's good to have a few different kinds of backs. If you're going to have Chase Brown, you know, running guys over, Reggie Love running guys over, it's good to have maybe a change of pace guy who's maybe a little smaller but a very quick back who has some experience. So I was a little surprised to see him out there, and because I wasn't necessarily expecting him to be a small type of back, but it was good to see them work in a different kind of running back. Let's go ahead and bring in Jake Hansen now. And get his thoughts as well. We can get a little maybe inside football, inside the locker room with Jake, and get a little behind the scenes peek at what's been going on. We now welcome on recurring guest and friend of the program, Jake Hansen. Jake, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's start with this. What was the main reason behind your decision to return? Because last time you were on, you know, you were telling us you're headed off to the NFL. Come to find a few months later, you're right back in Champaign.
You know, there's a couple different reasons, but I would just say, like, for the most part, I got a chance to, like, explore that world for the first couple months, and the feedback I got was like, it wasn't like exactly where I needed it to be for in the situation that I was in. And after I talked to Coach Bielema and Josh Whitman for a while, and it kind of like it was a long process, but eventually they were able to get an appeal from the NCAA because I had signed with an agent. And so that's even like deeper process. But eventually, and then I like, everything that Coach Bielema had been preaching and saying, was confirmed with what all the players were saying. So that was ultimately what led me to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the guys, you know, you came in with, you know, a lot of your best friends, you know, they all came back. So, you know, just putting myself in your shoes, you know, how much fun, you know, we all have in the locker room, you know, at practice and, you know, just hanging out as college students, to do it all one more time is, you know, not the worst thing in the world.
No, and that's what, like, I kind of, yeah, that's what, like, all those reasons, like, there was a bunch of different factors, and that was one of the big ones as well. Like, I got Dougie, McCourt, Brandon, Bobek, all, like, a bunch of the guys that are going to come back for 6 years, Tony Adams, one of my boys, so that was another thing. Plus, I get to suit it up in Memorial Stadium one more time. So,
hopefully in front of fans, too.
Yeah. I think we're headed in the right direction. We had 8,000, I think, this last spring game.
Yeah, that's got to be a record. I remember our spring games. We had like 400 people. And
oh, I know, right?
80% of them were our parents. But speaking of spring ball, you know, I know you weren't playing this spring. You know, I unfortunately weren't playing in a lot of springs, and you know, it going through it, you know, kind of sucked. Just because you want to be out there, especially with new coaches, but you know, you can't just sit there and do nothing. You know, so one of the roles I tried to take on, you know, was trying to help the younger guys. Is that something you know you've been trying to do? I know you're trying to learn a whole new defense too. Just you know, what's been your sort of role throughout spring ball?
I mean, that's definitely one of them, like trying to help the younger guys. But like for me, I'm like you said, like I'm still trying to learn that the new D, and it's like it's just different. But like, there's only so many things that you can like do defensively. It's I feel like it's similar to offense. Like there's only things you can do from an offensive standpoint. But like you're getting the ball in space to your playmakers is basically like I feel like the majority of like what you're trying to do. But and then defensively you can only run so many coverages, but like it's just different terminology. But then when to help the younger guys, you can always help them with like little technical things, just like using your hands to get off the block and things like that. So that's something that I'm helping the younger kids out with.
See, and we gotta keep you around too for another year to help transition the turnover savviness to the new regime, because you know that is the one thing that obviously we know that Coach Lovie Smith was all about is being the turnover boys. And so I'm hoping that you'll still, you know, be forcing, you know, a couple dozen fumbles and intercepting a few passes, and then I'll just that will continue through the ranks.
That's the plan.
we need a new term this year. If we had a lovey ball before, we got to come up with something for Bielema at some point.
What about Bielema ball?
Just keep it basic.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
You guys gonna like integrate like a turnover chain or something like that? Yeah, got any? Yeah. Coach Walters thought of anything like that?
I like the idea when Miami came out with it, but like I feel like that's Miami's thing now. Like right. We need to like our own thing. Like,
oh yeah.
Something, maybe just something like specific. I don't know, like an axe or something. Just the turnover axe, and you just chop a piece of wood in half or something stupid.
One year we did have a bubble. It was like Coach Hardy Nickerson brought out a shovel, and it like was kind of weird. I saw the shovel like one time.
They're like, go put that away. We're not using that.
Jake, during the game, I obviously you were on the white team, and they had the tights on and everything. Or was part of you just let me like wear sweats or whatever? Or did you like dressing up in the full uniform with no pads?
I mean, the coaches were trying to get us to get us involved the best way. So I mean, it kept me into the game, which I can appreciate. But it wasn't like I wasn't going to be tuned in, you know?
Right.
So I understood it. It made sense.
You should have negotiated into your coming back that you would have gotten to throw a 2-point conversion as well. do you regret not getting out there? You know, having the white garb on.
Like as a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean they can't touch you. I'm sure you could throw a pass.
I mean, I don't know if he can.
Yeah, right.
here's another random question, but I'm curious because I haven't seen too much. Obviously, there's a new mini golf course on the rooftop of the Smith Center, right? Yeah. Have you been able to hit the links, and who's running the mini golf circuit?
It's I mean, I haven't really, honestly, I haven't been up there yet. Like, spent quite a bit of time up at that facility as it is. So, I mean, Mike, you get it. Like, you're trying, once you're done with your doing your stuff or doing your like your extra stuff, like it's there's not really a lot of time for mini golf. Or you'd rather just get home, get to your own like your own place, you know?
Right.
So that's how I am.
I feel like I, you know, would be tearing that up during camp. Because you got to stay there all day.
Staying there, yeah. I mean, that's probably when it will. I'm like more into like the ping pong side, though. I go down and run dudes in ping pong.
There we go.
Any rivals or good competitors out there? Or is it pretty much just a wash, Jake Hansen winning everything?
Oh, Luke Ford, solid. Bryce Barnes, D lineman, solid. Other than that, it's not much competition.
All right, I have a question here for you on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Just throughout spring ball, is there anybody that, you know, has kind of taken a step forward this year or caught your eye that, you know, wasn't – not that they weren't an impact last year, but just really took a step forward this year?
Yeah, I would say Keith Randolph has kind of impressed a lot. The most of the D lines have been playing really, really well, and they've been giving our offense some. Oh, you're saying from the offensive side of the ball? Sorry.
Both sides works. Both sides work.
Whatever. We don't have any rules here.
Yeah. Rerun that. All right. offensive side of the ball, I would say, I think Chase Brown's going to be one of the better backs here. He's added some weight. He really looks the part right now, and he's been running the ball really well. Him, I mean, everyone that's playing well, like I know they're like they've been a good player, and like Brandon's looking really good. We got Doug, and our old line's been looking solid. All the guys coming back, you know, it's but like I'd say the standout is probably Chase Brown right now.
Yeah, we were talking earlier, and I said he was the one stock that I was buying. I was going all in on Chase Brown.
That's a smart move.
Yeah. I predict he'll go over 1,000 yards this year. So I called it on April 21st. We're going to replay this once he goes over the 1,000 yards this fall.
Yeah. I would take that as well. Whatever that money line is at.
Yeah. The over under.
Yeah.
Chase Brown to the moon.
Yeah. And then you were saying on the defensive side of the ball, you said Keith Randolph. Who else was impressing you?
Yeah, Keith Randolph looked really well. He, I think he's added some weight, and he's just like been moving guys a lot better. The, I think the new defense has helped him out a lot too. Like, it allows him a little more freedom to play. So I think he's been playing good football for sure.
Yeah, with that new scheme, are you? I mean, obviously, I think Robert would like discontinue our podcast if you got into the specifics, and he'd be like, "Oh, I can't believe Nebraska's getting an advantage." But like, in terms of the creativity, I mean, from what I've seen watching, you know, Ryan Walters' defenses, there's going to be a little bit more variety. But is it one of those where, you know, you're just going to be able to kind of pick it up? Because like you were saying, it's, you know, there's only so many, you know, reads that you can make on a on an offensive lineman or a running back or something like that. Or is it one of those where you're kind of like, oh, wow, I wasn't expecting, you know, all these different things that I would have to be considering?
There is going to be a lot of variety, which I can appreciate, but it's not something that, like, you can't handle. Like, it's just, like, it's just different. Like, you, like, adjust to a different coverage. Like, you'll see variations of coverages, but you get to it in a different, like, form, like, alignment, right? Like, we could have people dropping differently, or and then send like fire zones and things like that. So
are you excited to possibly blitz more this year?
I am.
Get those sack numbers up.
I'm damn excited to blitz a little more.
Yeah, that'll be sweet. I'm definitely. And like, in terms of practices, because I think what, like, most of the inside linebackers are injured or, you know, out right now. How's that kind of been in terms of like trying to mentor, like, you know, transfers or walk-ons or whatever, and getting them up to speed?
I mean, they, like, everyone's been playing really well. I feel like everyone's picked up the defense. I mean, they've all been here longer than I have, so they had a bit of a head start. But like, Alec McCarron's picking it up really, really well, and then so was C.J. Hart, the transfer kid from NC State. So,
and one more follow up in terms of like, I know you've missed a little bit of time, like in some seasons with some injuries and whatnot. Is that something where you can like use that to help even the guys who are hurt, you know, because you've got those other linebackers who, you know, were out last year and I think they're being held out thus far? Like, is that one of those where you're like, okay, I know we're not out there getting reps and we're all trying to learn a new defense, but here's like stuff that I would do? Or is that just kind of, you know, you're all going at your same pace trying to learn new things?
You know, it is like helping any way you can really give a young kid that's going through an injury, like, advice is like helpful. Because it kind of feels like the world's like coming close, it caving in, and I think they're all handling it really well. Obviously, it sucked. Like, the first day of pads, it's always like, man, I wish I could have gone today or like that. But like, then, like, I mean, once you're like day 13 and 14 of spring ball, you're like, man, I can appreciate maybe sitting out of practice right now. But it's always that you always want to get back out there. But I think everyone's handling it really well.
You touched on this a little bit, but I'm trying to think of how to best ask you this. If, let's say, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you know the offense, or sorry, you know the defense, you've been in it for 5 years, the same scheme, there's continuity there, and let's say 0 on the scale is a freshman who's never learned the scheme. For you, when there's a new coach and a new scheme change, where do you start at? Because you've obviously played college football for several years, but with a new scheme, you know, how much of a learning curve is there for you?
The learning curve, I would say, for me, is more the from a terminology side. Like,
okay,
like, for example, like, you'll have and like most like 8-man fronts, you have like a or. Yeah, most 8-man fronts where, like, you'll have a safety, a box safety, or, like, a man's in your threes, you'll have, like a box player or, like, a contain player and then a cutback player in, like, every single run, right? So, like, there's only so – you call it different things, but it's just, like, different ways of getting to it. And it's just, like, the terminology standpoint. So, it's, like, that would be the only – that's really the only thing for me that's, like, I'm learning. So, it's not – it's not really a huge learning curve. It's just, like – all right, it's not called this, it's just called something else, you know.
How quickly can you get up to speed in learning the new terminology? Does that take months, or is that going to take the entire off season, or does that take, you know, a couple days and you're good to go?
No, not, I wouldn't say a couple days. Like, it does take like a couple, like after a, like a month being here, I started to like feel pretty comfortable with like my, like if I was like to go in there and play, like I'd feel pretty comfortable. But it takes a little bit more once you know what everyone's doing, like all the D linemen, all the like defensive backs and things like that. So I'm still working on like figuring out what they're doing. But like as far as like the linebacker position, I feel like I'm dialed in right now.
Yeah, I remember because I, you know, I had four offensive coordinators, three different offensive playbooks. You know, learning the first college playbook took me a while. Yeah. But, you know, learning a next one and then learning the next one, you start to understand, you know, there's only so many different route combinations you can put in. And it's just about identifying, okay, like jet means motion in this offense and not, you know, go. Like there's just the little nuances that you have to, you know, pick up on and realize that it's really all just the same stuff, but worded differently.
Exactly. That's the best way I could have said it. And I'm sure it gets easier and easier once you're learning a new offense and a new offense, like, like the consecutive, it gets easier and easier.
Well, I'm sure that's something that even like sitting in interviews with the, scouts, you know, this time next year, you'll be able to say that you can, you know, easily come in and learn something new because your, you know, production still increased year over year, even with a new defensive scheme and a new defensive role.
Yeah, no, that's something that I'll definitely keep in my back pocket for sure.
Do you have any expectations for the team this year? What are your personal goals and where do you see this team?
I
undefeated.
Say it. Go on record. Undefeated national.
Oh, I don't want a cap or like a number or like, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to say a number, but as far like personally, I want to be like, I haven't been able to say I've been a first team All Big Ten player. And I also haven't been able to say I was an All American. So those are goals that I have. So
I like it. You got my vote.
Me too.
We should just have you like call into the pod when we do our previews, and you and Mike can give your W predictions every single time, because we usually rib Mikey a couple times when he's like, I'm doing it again. I'm calling in the line. I win.
Every week. Got
it. I need it every week.
All right. Well, Jake, appreciate you coming on again. We'll definitely have you back a few more times, hopefully after some big wins or when you get back in the swing of things over the summer. So appreciate you taking the time.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate you guys.